as we're just defining prayer, what is prayer? And how it should be done, you see, prayer. Prayer is always done to somebody on whom we are fully confident exists, first of all. And second, we are confident about his competence. Two things. First, we should have full conviction that there is a God or there is a Guru or somebody whom is praying. And moreover, he is also confident that he is fully competent to give it. Both things. Then what sort of prayer will we succeed? One thing, just ask your heart what your heart wants. What you give out from your mouth. And what you think in your brain. Sometimes you want something, you think this is good, we should ask for. But heart wants something else. So there's no unity. There should be unison between the heart and the tongue and the brain. The prayer which is comes out of the heart, and that very thing comes out of the mouth, and that very thing we are fully confident intellectually, such like prayer is heard. You follow? So Christ said, if you pray God, you may have it. Perhaps you may have it. There is some doubt. If you will ask God in my name, he may give you. But if you will ask me, you will surely have it. What does that mean? If you pray God, you are not confident there is God. And when you are not fully calm, I mean fully full conviction that there is a God, and he is fully competent to give it, such like prayer, how can that be heard, first of all? And further, that prayer should go from your heart. Your brain and your mouth should express the same thing what is in your heart. They should not differ. Such like prayer will be heard. So when Christ said that if you pray God, perhaps he may give you. If you pray God in my name, he may give you. If you pray to me, he will be given. In the first, man is fully convinced there is Christ. He sees him. He is fully convinced that he is competent. So unless when you have got full conviction, full faith in the Master about his competency and his existence, and that prayer comes out of your heart, that must be heard. They are saying the things of the Guru. If such like prayer you offer, the God will catch you by the hand and say, all right, child, tell me what you want. You see? Tell me what you want. You follow me what I say? Such like prayer, God hears. Common child, what does it say? You see, your heart, mouth and brain are one. You see? You have full conviction about his competency. Don't pay any attention, let us try. So such like prayer is heard, you see? If you have no conviction of the God, sometimes it so happens, child insists to have something. Suppose there is poison, you see, and there is all sugar coated. You ask mother, will she give you? With all your entreaties, you won't give. She may promise, all right, I will give the child, the rest is yours. But she won't give it. Sometimes it is seen that is not in your interest, ultimate interest. And father will not give you. You see? So what should you pray for? Sometimes we pray for certain things, we get it. And ultimately we repent why we pray for. Oh God, take it away. Such things happen. But if you pray, the best prayer is, all right, to Master of God, give us that thing which is ultimately in our good. He knows what is ultimately in our good. You see? Such a prayer, you see, is the ideal prayer. He does give it when you say, but any poison he won't give it, mind that. And the very strange thing. Whatever we have got now, we are rich or poor. Some people die, some live short lived, some are long lived, some are happy, some are in distress. Well, this is reaction of past karma, you cannot avoid it. For that we pray always. Why not pray God? Well, God, we want to meet you, you come to us. I'll drag us to you. So Master is the media. You see? God speaks to him. And if you pray him much, Master, what is now best in you? You see? That is always the best prayer, which is generally heard. What sort of prayer which goes out of the heart and your tongue and your brain says the same thing. That's quoted by them. So such like prayer will be heard. For that, go into closet, you see, all alone. While sitting in the closet, in the closet, and then sit within you, see what you want, to whom you are praying. You are fully confident about that, about his existence and competency, then that is your help. And that prayer also should go out from your heart. So always, I will give you an example. There is some woman married to somebody. But she is not devoted wife. She is attached to so many others. Outwardly, she appears to be fully devoted to her husband. Wife and husband are two. They should two bodies, they one soul. They should be one soul working two bodies, husband and wife. The one who is devoted, that is, who is not devoted, outwardly she is married to somebody. But she always thinks of others, such like people we are, you see. We have no conviction, we are not devoted wholly and solely to God or to the Master. Here, there, we are just given here this side and that side and that side. And the result is, some are devoted, but they want to have something. Well, give me this thing. That's second class, you see. Master, husband will give generally to win his heart pleasure. But there are some, you see, you may put before her, I want such and such. And that second wife, sort of kind of wife, you see, that is not given, she rejects. Now the third kind of wife, you see, she wants to have something she plays before her husband. He gives or not, she remains devoted. And there's another kind, higher kind. She thinks, well, husband knows she's me daily. If I, well, I've got no clothes to wear on, we've got this and that thing. And he sees and he does not give it. And that wife considers if I am a, what is, I am acceptable to him in my this ragged clothes, you know? And what more is wanted? This is the highest form of the devoted soul. You see? God sees our fate, where we are rich or poor, you see, whether we are happy or in distress. He sees, when he sees, well, we are his children after all. Isn't it? So highest form of devotion is like that. Second he comes, he places that what you want before him. He may or may not give, but you don't reject. Third kind is like that, who puts a demand before him, and if he does not give, she rejects. You see? And the fourth kind is divine. The whole thing depends on what full devotion. And devotion lasts of different kinds. You know? These are the things to be practiced, lived. In books there are references to that, not clear cut ways I am putting for you, you see. What sort of devotion you would like? The eyes forming like that. You have no your say in the matter. If you have say, you tell, place before him, he may or may not give. And without that, you don't reject. This is good. So there are stages of saints too, of different levels. The highest form is like that. And that's the saint's way. That is the saint's way, I tell you. Once, it was about 9, 10 or 10 o'clock in the winter days, I was sitting by my master, you see. And there was Dr. Johnson, Julius Johnson was also there, I and he both. Johnson put question to the master, is it necessary to pray? He replied from our level. He says, the disciples work it to pray for higher things, for higher things, not worldly things. You see? He always demands, because he is not perfect yet. Unless he becomes perfect, he demands something, he wants something, he must place before him. When we sit for prayer, we simply sit like a restless way. No, not that. First pray, oh God, help us, oh Master, help us. I wish you to. No. Raise me up. This sort of prayer will help you. You will have a boost. When we sit for prayer, oh, like a gymnastic, we are going to go up, up alone, staying so how can that? To sit at the door and wait and repose all hopes with him. Such sort of prayer will help you. So you stand in the door and call you, come in please, you don't leave the door. How can he enter? You pray and wait. Leave the door. I'm standing there, all right, come on, come on, come on, don't leave the door, how can he enter? These are things to be understood properly and lived. All these things I have placed before you, perhaps most of you do know about that. But how you live, that's the point. So such sort of prayer will help you. He is your father, you are his child, you go straight to him. And also, the God, the Master is also your father. Go to the state, no reservation. Like a child go to those who are children, you see. Suffer little children to come unto me. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, you see. Cut off from all of them. Have full confidence, full conviction in his competence. Then pray. Then pray and wait. Go on praying, go on. Come in, come in, come in, come in, please. Don't leave the door, you see. As you pray, come here, come here. Kisi samaj mein, samajon ko koi jagah hi nahi bani. This is something to be done in a practical way. To be accepted at his door. I was just talking about true love. What it is. Definition of love is to give away your heart to somebody and go around without any heart. You see? To be somebody's slave, heart and soul. This is one thing. And how it starts by implicit obedience to the Master's commandment. If he loves me, keep my commandment. Sometimes we are in love. We love the Master, you see. But sometimes we consider me to be, in a, what you say, intoxication of love, you can say, I am a demon, I am too spirit that he wants to dominate our demon. This is no true love. Master may not, I mean, take ambition with him, but he simply, he loves who have got implicit obedience. Without any why and wherefore, you see. I gave an example of one Ajahn, he was a servant of Emperor Humayun. He was the Emperor of India, you see. He loved his servant very much. Other courtiers, ministers, asked King, well, how is it you love your servant the most, not us? He said, I love him because he considers me, takes me as a king. And they said, don't you take you as a king? I said, no. Sometimes after, you see, while the court was going on, you see, he sent for one cup, which was studded with emeralds and rubies and other things, very costly. It was another jewel. He ordered one by one all the ministers, they all break it. So, Lord, they're very valuable thing, one of the wonders of the world, we should not do it. One by one, everybody is very politely, of course. Then you order the servant standing by, oh yes, all right, break it. Without any hesitation, with a stick, you see, broke it. Then he made a stunt for it. Well, yes, don't you think you've broken a very valuable thing? He said, Lord, I take your word more valuable than this cup. And he told him, don't you think he is taking the king? Then you don't. This is one of these things, you see. Complete, implicit obedience with intellect and no interference. So I gave other examples too. One was Hare Krishna. The seventh guru, eighth guru of the six lineage. He was once passing by in the garden and his guru was passing by and I was there. So his coat, you see, just touched some jasmine flower that was broken. Then one becomes very subtle at mind, you see, feels. Even the plant has got life. He just shuddered and passed on. What is it? That has been recorded. All will go composed. Then all his life he went like that. Never his court flow like that. Then I gave an example, you see, of another instance of Guru Ram Das, what he was called Jetha by name. So Master ordered to prepare some stages, you see, that's it. All the people started, you see. Then he sent once, twice, thrice, he said, no good, break it again. Raise another bell. Then he said, oh, this place is no good. Just to some other place. So continued saying, some left it after breaking up, constructing 5, 10, 20 like that. All of those left, only one man remained. And he was Jetha, who was called Ramdas later on. So he continued, you see, for 70 times, more than 75, and people approached him, look here, your master is becoming old, over 100 years old, his intellect is not, what is the good of constructing and then demolishing it? And he wept, you see, says, Master has got this, all wisdom, all consciousness. If you order me, go on doing this, this is my work, you see. That's all I have to do. So he was just installed as the Guru Ram Das Guru, as a Guru, you see. So there are so many things, you see. The devil always considers, you see, his beloved to be everything. It's a kind of Lala one. Majnu was very fond of Leela, you see. When there were Khilafat in Mohammedans, اور دی کنگز آر دیئر دی سینئر موسٹ کنگ از کنسیڈرڈ دیئر دی خلافت خلیفہ آف گاڈ دی پروٹوٹائپ آف گاڈ آن ارتھ دی ٹیک اٹ دیٹ دیئر واز ویکنسی اینڈ دی پیپل آس مجنو ہو شوڈ بی انسٹالڈ دیئر ہی سیڈ وائی ناٹ لیلا شوڈ یو پٹ دیئر وائی وی نیور ڈو اٹ سو لو از لو اٹ از نو لسٹ مائنر اٹ از لو چیریٹی The condition is just like a man going with a new heart. From heart and soul he becomes the slave of somebody. The implicit obedience is stopped. To think him everything, for, like Iyad I told him. Guru Ram Das, like Guru Ram Das, or the order do it. And no question of why we are so much. He knows everything. Once I wrote to my master, there should be respectful love. Sometimes in love we transcend all bounds of respect. So I wrote a letter to my master, you see. I wrote him in my grave palace, gift from you, and that is, give me, you see, grant me a gift of love, of true love, which should be with the bounds of respect. He got that letter, those who were there, they said, when he read that letter, his eyes were beating with tears. And they put that letter out and said, I want such like love. So respectful love is what brings forth fruit. Love is good, but that should be the bounds of respect. Duplicity to be. Just when man has lost his heart, he goes on like anything, just like he should go on. You know what is this love, no? We read in books. This is a hazy idea, I would say, of love. Hazy idea. How this comes up, go and ask somebody who has lost his heart. That's all. Was given up his heart. Nobody can give in writing these things. Cannot be expressed in words. To be somebody's heart and soul, everything. That's the ultimate end of love. That is why it says God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is also true love. Such like love when dwells, he becomes one with the Lord. That Guru said, hear ye all, whether you belong to one country or the other, or one religion or the other. I tell you the truth. Those you love, they only can get to God. And this is what Christ has also said, those who do not know love cannot know God. And what sort of love? Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. That is what it meant. What I have described before. So love is love. God is love and love is God. So the only way back to God is through love. Now just compare where you stand. You are not starting by obedience, having obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. We have not started there yet. We always why we are for this and that thing, if we have somebody starts, he gets something, then he begins to why with the master something overruling. Man, he's ruling for the problem. When you consider he will make you that, saint will make you a saint. King will make you a king. You will never suffer his children to be ministers. He would like his sons to be kings, not ministers. So every saint would like you to become a saint, not below that. This is far as he sees we are. Guru Amar Das chose Ram Das. These saints choose, you see. They select. It is they. Not the people they don't choose by giving votes, you see. So that is what is love, you see. The more you progress that way in the world. That starts with implicit obedience. And that What is where we are wanting, you see. So pray me badi cheez hai sabse jo love no service and sacrifice and now dreams of what he has done, is it? And love knows no burdens. So God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is also through love. And that is innate in our soul, innate in our soul. Simply that has been distributed. So many to the physical body, to the children, to the outward thing. If you withdraw from all of them and concentrate to your own self within you, then that will sprout from you, see? And then you, what you say, you will be overwhelmed with love, you see. It does not, you see, grow in fields that sold at the shops. It is to be developed. It is already there, only by directing our attention, so many other things, dividing our attention. That is why we have lost all this grace. We should concentrate, withdraw from outside, from all physical, body and environment. When we come to our own self, well, you are love itself, you see. That love is directed to the ourself. The one who has love in his heart is always thinking of whom he loves. Naturally, whoever you just remember in your heart, there will be reaction in that heart too. Like wireless telegraphy, when you one tick, put one tick here to the other, so he sounds there. So one thing how to develop love is to constant love of God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the other thing is, have the company of those who are overflowing with love. And who is that? They are called saints. We are also overflowing with love. For whom? With the self, with the children, with the environment, with those who are we attached. So our love is distributed in so many places. And saints' love is only for one. So by radiation also, by coming close to him, you get some infection of love, you might say, some rays. And also if you give to something, higher quantity within you, what to speak of that. So how to develop love? There are two ways. One, constant remembrance with all thy heart and all thy soul. And the other, by coming in contact with those who are really overflowing with the love of God. So when there is love, you see, the outward expressions naturally follow. Feet, tongue imbued with humility. So that's the panacea for all ills, whether worldly or spiritual. This love is not sold at any shop, you see, not grown in any field. It comes, it is within you already, but that is distributed unless that is riveted to one ideal. There can be no peace on this. One who loves somebody is sitting thousands of people is directing attention to him. While sitting thousands he's quiet, what to say, he's out of humor, not yet. All these practices we do, you see, rituals and other things we perform, we say prayers, we perform some outward rites. If they are performed with love, they give some fruit. Otherwise, the mechanical uttering you go on doing, that would give you little understanding.
Good evening, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you listened to was Two Morning Talks, True Prayer and True Love. Master gave these talks on November 8th and 9th, 1968 in Delhi, India. Our reader this evening is David Halliburton. Hello, David.
Hi, Christine.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Tonight I'm going to continue reading from Master's talk called To Gain His Pleasure that was printed in the December 1970 issue of Satsandesh. In the first part of this talk, Master told us the story of the time that Guru Arjan was ordered by his guru, Guru Ramdas Ji, to go to another town and not to return until he was told. Guru Arjan missed his master's darshan so much that he wrote him three hymns in the form of letters. In the first he wrote, "My mind is desiring thy darshan, like the chatrak bird in anguish." It's a bird who only drinks raindrops, not water from the ground. "The thirst remains unquenched. There is no peace. I am living like that without the beloved's darshan." But that letter was stolen by Guru Ramdas's jealous son, who wanted to become his successor. When he got no reply, Guru Arjan then wrote a second letter. "Glory be to that place where you reside. Your face is so beautiful. Seeing this, the inner sound easily vibrates." This letter was also stolen. In his third letter, which he marked with the number 3, he wrote, "The separation of minutes was likened to an age. O beloved, when will that time be when I may see you? I cannot sleep, and the nights cannot pass without one who is my Lord." Guru Ramdas Ji received this third letter and, of course, knew everything that was going on. Here is where I will pick up with Master's talk. Guru Ramdas Ji then sent for Guru Arjan Sahib, and when he arrived, told him, "You wrote me three letters, and whoever will complete that poem will be my successor." When a test comes, a simple thing becomes difficult. I remember that I also sometimes wrote poems to my master. Through separation, the thoughts would come, and the poems were written. Some rivals started copying me, but always there is a difference between wine and water. Guru Arjan wrote the fourth stanza thus. "With great destiny I met him. The ever-permanent Lord was found in the house. I desire only to serve and never be separated for a moment. I am thy servant, O Lord." This shows the kind of respect the disciple should have for his master. I once wrote to my master and requested him to give me the ability to love, but only that kind of love which does not transcend the limits of respect. The master was in Dalhousie when he received it, and after reading the letter, he placed it on his heart and said with such humility, "I really appreciate such like love." A devoted one's poem is written to gain his master's pleasure. Guru Arjan Sahib was one of those rare devotees who truly achieved this. And at the end of this hymn, he indicates what is gained by it. Just as we cannot say what God is, so it is impossible to describe the Guru. He has a physical form, but he is not the physical form. If he were, what could he give us? If the whole earth became thin paper, and the seas turned into ink, and all the trees were made into pens, Were we to cover the paper with praises to the Lord, we would never succeed in describing His glory. I used to study in a Christian school and always had an inquisitive nature. I knew that we said Shri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj, for in India we attach many respectful terms to the names of masters and certain respected people, and had noticed the Christians called their great saint merely Jesus. So I went to a Christian bishop and questioned him, "Why do you not put a prefix to Christ's name, even when the most insignificant common man is at least referred to as Mr. Somebody?" The bishop said, and I can still distinctly remember his reply, "We consider Christ the Son of God, and as we cannot glorify God, so we cannot extol Christ. If we start prefixing His name, we will make Him smaller, not greater." Another master says, "You are the emperor above all. How can you be praised?" Without doubt, there is none equal to the Guru. He who starts seeing another as equal to his master, his soul becomes unadulterous. Truly, the light is in everyone, but not manifested as in the Guru. When two great souls meet and see the God in each other, that is something different again, something qualified. I remember one incident in Lahore in a house called Pari Mahal, or Fairy Palace, where at the time Maharishi Shivrat Lalji was staying on a short visit to Lahore. He was the successor to Rai Saligramji, who was one of the chief disciples of Swamiji. When my master was told of his presence in Lahore, he went to see him, and I accompanied the master. It was a very strange sight that I saw. My master, who was always the very depth of humility, was trying to touch his feet, but he wanted to touch Hazur's feet. His sweetness is above all others, above the sweetness of mother and father. For a child who plays in his mother's lap, she is the sweetest of all beings to him. The true devotee who plays in his master's lap will place that relationship above all others. Sisters, brothers, and all my friends are very close to me, but there is none like you in this world. To the child who plays in his father's lap with no other thought than to try and please him, the father will give whatever he wants. When all the other relationships are broken and the guru is the only one in existence, then you have succeeded in your work. On this path, mere words have no value. You must obey His every command. Make your life pure and chaste. Do service unto others. Be careful of evil words. Love everyone, as God is in every being. When you serve others, you are serving Him. By thy orders, Sawan, or the rainy season, came, and I plowed the furrow of truth. The rain comes in the form of the Guru, like a refreshing coolness upon the parched earth. My Hazur's name was Sawan. Like a rain of mercy, they come by God's orders, and we should take full benefit by clearing up the land of our whole being with satsang, where all the dirt and filth is thrown out. We scatter our thoughts abroad, but at satsang we can withdraw toward the truth. All masters encourage this. Christ says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." There will be strong charging there, even if they are thousands of miles from the Master's physical form. Guru Gobind Singh says, "Where five disciples sit together, there God will be." How can any good come from a gathering filled with criticisms and disagreements? This satsang was started with my guru's orders. So throw away your laziness and lethargy and become pure. In satsang, the flow of mercy is pouring into you. So get the fullest benefit from it. Weed out all imperfections one by one. That is why I have told you to keep a diary. When the soil is weeded, it is ready for the seed to be sown. Then the true growth can begin. If small pebbles and rocks are not removed, the seed may sprout, but will not bear fruit. In great aspiration, the seed of Nam was sown. I pray each second for mercy, that it may bear fruit. The seed of Nam, once sown, cannot be set aside by any power. That seed will bear fruit, sooner or later. But without the water of satsang, how can the seed be expected to sprout, green and fresh in all its beauty? Once sown, it will not die, but in unprepared soil, it will not fructify. He who does not do his meditation in this life will have to come again. As this seed cannot sprout in any other form, he will be given the concession of not retrogressing below the human birth. But why not complete your mission now? He who is unlearned in life cannot become learned merely by going through that change which is called death. No one should be under the misunderstanding that having received the connection with the Holy Nam, he has got salvation. He will get salvation, but in how many lives? When I met the Guru, I knew he was the only one. My heart can never accept another. Once the disciple has recognized his Guru, he can only understand his Guru's teachings and none other. Hanuman, Lord Rama's greatest devotee, was once asked what day it was, and he replied, "O Ram." On being asked what month it was, he said, "O Ram." He was so immersed in the sweet remembrance of his beloved that he could think of nothing else. Wherever he looked, he saw Ram, and every person he spoke to was Ram. It is really worth having a guru if you are receptive like this. All the transitory objects have dropped away since I got the company of the saint. At the feet of a true guru, there are no factions, political fights, or religious wranglings. The master simply places a man problem before you. He tells us that when he met his guru, there was nothing else in life. He is one, and yet he is not one. This also is a mystery. He who knows and becomes one with him becomes the doer and the giver. We are devotees of the light. It matters not in which pole it is expressed. All are one and the same. He whose eye is open can see the beautiful play of God's expression. Each man has been allotted the task, but success depends on thy will. The satsang is started by his orders, and he makes the work a success. Hazur used to tell us that when Baba Jaimal Singh Ji gave him orders to start the spiritual work, Hazur went to Baba Garib Das and Chacha Pratap Singh Ji, who both told him, if we give initiation, the soul might not get salvation, but if you give it, that soul will surely have salvation. When my master gave me orders to do the work, I asked him to whom I should go for such assurance, and then added that I would do the work as ordered, but that he should give me the protection. Hazur assured me that it would be so. With his support, I started the satsang. It is not mine, but his, and he will take everyone across. Whatever blessing he extends is being given out. All credit goes to him. When I went to the West, many people were helped, and I told them that the credit for the blessing went to my master. Forgive me, but so many seekers for truth have spent their whole lives struggling to find it, and did not receive even a glimpse of light. Here, everyone gets light. It is another matter if, after receiving the gift, they refuse to keep up the practice and thereby lose it. But at initiation, almost all get something, do they not? Those who obey instructions increase their progress daily, 100%. Who is there to place his hand on his heart and declare such assurance? Ashtavakra gave this knowledge to King Janak, and even today, people are still repeating his name. How great is the mercy of the Master who gives such an invaluable boon. The age has changed, and so have conditions. If today this experience was not given so easily, no one would come on this path. In the West, many sects have sprung up, which deal with suggestion, hypnotism, mesmerism, and other doctrines which are not spirituality. Spirituality is merely a matter of self-analysis, knowing oneself and knowing God, the demonstration of which is given at the time of initiation. Many are doubtful of the science in the beginning, but I tell them to see with their own eyes, for there is no greater proof. In the past, the subject was very vague, for masters agreed to give the experience only after long years of study, when one was fully prepared. Today, it can be seen immediately what spirituality is. What a magnificent blessing. Eat, drink, and be merry, brothers. This is the Guru's court. He is doling out this gift. You should eat, drink, and enjoy, for you are getting this gift free. There are no charges. Even if you spend all your life in penance, you will not get this thing in that way. Only one man was to be found in King Janak's age who was God-realized. That was Ashtavakra. Today, can you find thousands? In the past, there were few, and even now, there are few. But the world is not without them. Make the most of the good fortune, for blessed are they who have received this rare gift. I have become the Lord of this physical form, and have tied up the five devils. Masters have no ego. They always acknowledge in humility that everything is achieved with the Guru's grace. Why shouldn't he gain full control over his mind and senses, who has all love for his Guru alone? He says he has become Lord of the house and has captured the five thieves, that is, lust, anger, greed, attachment, and ego. Who can make such a statement? Only with the Guru's strength can anyone declare so boldly. O Satguru, when I came to thy feet, these five strange aliens came under my control. He was pleased, and I was blessed with his grace. Now they cannot revolt or raise their heads. The five senses of action and knowledge are foreign to our nature. They must be overpowered and placed under our orders, instead of vice versa. When that happens, they have no courage to stand and defy us, and they will not disobey. Can anyone affirm such a staggering achievement? People say that saints and Mahatmas do not assert themselves, but they do speak directly. If they did not give the information of what to get and how to get it, where would we begin to seek for the truth? They tell us that there is such a wonderful nectar inside that will intoxicate the soul. They themselves are intoxicated. Their mind and senses are completely controlled. Their eyes are open, but they do not see. Their ears are open, but they do not hear, if they choose not to. They are the controllers of all the senses. With whose power is this achieved? With the grace of their respective gurus. When one gets the Nam's inner nectar, all worldly intoxicants seem ridiculous. And when the seed of Nam sprouts, all outer things become meaningless. All glory and beauty lies within you. You will forget outer things with their false attraction. The five devils will come under perfect control and will have no courage to jeer at you. There is so much nectar within that even they become intoxicated. O Satguru, again and again I glorify thee. With each breath I think of thee. There was a certain intoxicated lover of Bheek Sahib who constantly repeated, "O Bheek, O Bheek," for he saw God clearly in his guru. His contemporaries condemned him as an atheist and passed judgment for his execution. But they could not execute him without the king's authorization, so they brought him before the king. It is possible that the king was Akbar the Great, who was renowned for his keen sense of justice. When the king looked at the accused man, he said, "I feel he is an intoxicated holy man." And he asked him, "Who is your God?" The man replied, "Bheek." The king then asked, "What is your religion?" And he said, "Bheek." At this, the king ordered that he should be released. His accusers protested that he would run away, but the king said, "It does not matter." He then looked keenly at the holy man and told him, "For a long time we have been without rain, and if it does not come soon, there will be famine in the land. So could you please ask your beak to send the rain? The man replied, Oh, yes, I will ask him to send the rain. Only complete faith in the Guru could display such calm confidence. He who has not experienced the true inner connection with his Guru will not have such strong faith, for faith is built on knowledge. When the holy man turned to leave, the king asked him when he would return, and he answered, On the third day I will return. The very next day there was such a heavy downpour of rain that the whole countryside was flooded, and on the third day the holy man returned to the king's palace. The king smiled at him and said, Your guru was very gracious to us in sending the much-needed rain. I am giving you these precious gifts. Please place them before your beak, Sahib, as my thankful offering. The devotee got very indignant, saying, These perishable things for my guru? Most decidedly not. Such people care nothing for the world and its possessions. You have brought life to this derelict house, the body. I could sacrifice myself in gratitude. Gratitude is a very rare virtue. Because of friends and relatives, we even risk our guru's displeasure. And this is due to lack of gratitude and faith. We sometimes consider the guru to be less able than an ordinary man. With this type of outlook, what can we hope to achieve in progress? The worldly things are more beloved. Guru and God are accepted casually for whatever can be derived through them materially. The attitude is one of tolerant duty, with respects paid in a condescending manner. Man always thinks he is the greatest of all. But if he really became great, he would not be in this blind, egoistic state. I am in perpetual dhyan, or contemplation, with my beloved. The fruit comes to him whose attention pierces through the veil. If you completely surrender unto him, then nature itself will be at your beck and call, and all your desires will be fulfilled. Guru Amar Das Ji says, O mind, you once desired 1,000 things, but did not get one. Now see that each thought will be fulfilled. All the work has been resolved, and the mind's hunger satisfied. What else can I desire from you but you? All else is misery upon misery. Give the Nam which renders all fulfilled and takes away the hunger of the mind. I have abandoned everything and am a true servant of the Lord. He who surrenders to the Lord lives without worries, doing the work sincerely and truthfully, and leaving all else to the Guru. That Nam, giver of all happiness, has been tied to me. Well, my time is up. I'll leave off there and pick up and finish this talk next time I read. Thank you, Master, for everything.
And thank you, David, for reading Master's very gracious words to us. There were 65 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
So, what to do then? What you say, live up. And you'll find the truth. the truth which is clothed in light, the truth which is the symphony of the music of all harmonies, which is the outer aspect of the God in action power, which is called Word, and Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.